Are you ready?
Oh yeah!
It's still real to me, damn it!
Barack Leisner!
I knew you'd come. Awesome!
It is Sunday, so that means it's time for a brand new edition of the Sunday Night Slam. And tonight, it's the most devastation you can have with a pink rope. It's Hell in a Cell. And joining me this week, it's true. I mean, I love the idea that WWE does the breast cancer awareness. I wish it was not for Susan G. Komen, but that's another show for another day. But come on. How can you have a show about the most brutal match of the year, supposedly, besides Elimination Chamber,
where
it's pink rope?
Well, somebody apparently needs to work on their timing
so that
we cannot have to have Hell in a Cell with a pink rope.
Like Halloween Havoc with a pink rope might make more sense at this point, but I don't know. But tonight is our Hell in a Cell preview show, and joining me this week is my tag team partner, not only on this show, but in life. Ashley Pruitt, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Tired.
That's every day.
Yeah. Tuesday night, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to get this promotion out of the way. If you're a fan of our shows, and this one specifically, check out episode number 100 of TBK Live. This Tuesday night. All right, now I got that out of the way. And if you want some cool S&S t-shirts, visit ShopTBK, tbkmagazine.com/ShopTBK.
New ones added pretty regularly, actually, recently.
Yeah, no, we're getting a new logo, and it should be up this week or next week, so I'm pretty excited.
Working on it.
We have a lot to cover today. Hell in a Cell is the second biggest story of the day, but come on, we all know what I'm excited about. Let's start this show off with the biggest news story of the week. Fucking War Games. I do not even care. The NXT tapings this week, William Regal came out and announced that it will be, and this is a spoiler alert for anybody who has that stayed away for him. So if you haven't already seen it on Twitter or your Facebook, then, and you're trying to stay away from spoilers, you might want to tune in and just tune out just for a few minutes and then come back. But chances are you already know.
Yeah.
It was announced even on Triple H's Twitter that War Games was coming back.
That's because he's probably been just as excited about it and having to sit on it real hard.
Oh my God. And he wasn't even at the tapings on Wednesday night. It's the first NXT tapings he missed because he's doing promotion for the WWE trip in India coming up.
Yeah.
And his place was taken by Road Dogg and Shawn Michaels. So I'm just sitting there going, poor Triple H wasn't even there to see the announcement of War Games happening, because you know, deep down inside, that dude's got a boner right now for this.
I think he always has. Like, he's the one that's been hardcore wanting this for so many years. And I think that hopefully this is going to be the start of actually bringing these on a more regular basis to WWE. And maybe if this works for NXT, they'll move it up to the main roster and we can have that pay-per-view in the next 2 years.
I think it's going to happen. I think this is going to... I will say this. I think NXT TakeOver sells out in less than 2 hours. Tickets go on sale Friday. First time WWE has ever done War Games, and they're doing it right. It's not just one ring with the Hell in a Cell around it. No, it is two rings with the cage. And Vince McMahon has been hard set against this, because why would you want two rings? Because that's less seating. But
that doesn't matter.
War Games. Look, at this point, I'm going to say this. There are so many fans out there who are going to see this happening and realize that you can get it on the WWE Network and are going to shill out the $9.99 after they get a free month. Because they're going to define this, and they're going to, others are going to go out of their way to want to see this show, like more wrestling. This one show is going to dictate maybe the future of the company. I know it's crazy to say, but in the match, and if you've been watching NXT, you know that NXT is being dominated by a group called Undisputed.
Yes.
Adam Cole, baby. I had to throw that in. Mm. Adam Cole, Bobby O'Reilly, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly.
There you go.
They're going to be taking on the team of Sanity, Eric Young, Alexander Wolfe and Killian Dane. And then on the third team, because it's a three-team War Games match, it's going to be Roderick Strong and the Authors of Pain, which kind of intrigues me.
A little bit.
So this is the night, November 18th, Houston, Texas, NXT TakeOver, War Games. I am so fucking stoked. And I know this goes over your head because it's like, I don't get the appeal of War Games. You've watched maybe one with me.
Part of one.
You need to at least watch some.
I'm planning on actually getting into watching them in the next couple of weeks. Try to watch one or two of them so I kind of get a feel for what's going on. Because I'm still slightly confused by the whole concept of it.
So for anybody who's never seen War Games, because I mean, it hasn't been done in over almost 20 years. This is the first War Games in almost 20 years. 19, I believe. Not counting TNA's idea of War Games, which is called Lethal Lockdown. Same principle, but instead they lower the roof and attach the roof as weapons that you can use in the match. It's not a bad match because you can't really F up the format.
Yeah.
There's a thing. WCW did. WCW did their last War Games match, mm-hmm. which a lot of people forget took place on Nitro.
Oh.
Inside the three-tiered cage from Ready to Rumble.
Oh, you told me that actually existed, but I haven't seen it, and I kind of feel like I need to after you made me watch that movie.
It's Vince Russo in a War Games. Let's point that out, too. Like, it's Vince Russo in War Games.
Can we point out one more thing about Vince Russo?
That I have an
autographed. The fact that you have an autographed picture of him in a frame on your desk right now.
I did not put it in the frame. You did.
Lies. It's in a frame on your desk.
That's not cool.
Because he's your hero.
No, it's not.
Yes, he is.
Not even close. But
number one on the list.
So it's the last time WCW did War Games. So this is the first time since 98 since they did the two rings in the cage. And that was a three-team War Games. And that was one of the worst War Games ever. I'm not saying that. I feel like WWE is going to do this differently.
Teams is it usually?
Two. Two teams. Okay, so War Games. Here's how War Games is set up. It's two teams of four or five. The two men will enter the ring and start, and I don't know what's going on. There's just a cat going crazy. Two guys will enter the ring and start for 5 minutes, and then they flip a coin,
mm-hmm.
and then the next guy in will give one team an advantage, and they go back and forth until everyone's in, and that's when the match beyond starts, and the first team to submit loses. Or surrenders.
Okay, so does this way they start with three people in the ring, or they just start with two people in the ring?
I think they're going to start with two.
Okay.
I think they're going to start with two, and I do think they're going to tweak it. I think they're going to make it their own as well.
Which is fine, but the main premise eliminate
everybody. I think you have to eliminate everybody from a team. Let's make it somewhat Survivor Series style.
And I feel like that's a really good thing to have on Survivor Series weekend because that it kind of keeps in theme.
Oh, and don't you feel bad for the main roster who's got to, because, you know, the main roster always goes out there and they have to. Their always expectations are so high because the night before is so good. Good luck following War Games. I don't think Survivor Series is going to do that well of a job to follow War Games unless you give us another fucking War Games.
What if this is the premiere of the new Four Horsewomen?
I
does that bring it closer to a level with War Games? Or
I know they're going to do something special for Survivor Series, but you now have War Games the night before, which we're going to watch at a hotel room. That's how excited I...
Yeah, let's make one more note here that November 18th is actually our wedding anniversary.
It is. Yeah.
And we're going to spend it watching freaking War Games in Oklahoma City.
While we prepare for the next day to go to Ring of Honor Live.
And I know in my heart that if we were not in Oklahoma City, we would be in freaking Houston.
Oh, trust me. I looked at tickets to go to Houston on Saturday.
And then
to see how far of a drive it is from Houston.
Like 11 hours.
Actually, it's not. Okay. So in the defense of Paragould to Houston, where we're doing the show, it sucks. It's 10 and a half to 11 hours. That's terrible. But from Houston to Oklahoma City, it's six. I'm just saying, that's not that bad of a drive.
So you want me to drive from here to Oklahoma City, then from Oklahoma City to Houston?
Now that you put it that way, I never thought of it that way, but yes.
Because we have to check into our hotel in Oklahoma City.
Well, we wouldn't be, we would have to go down the day before. Like, I'd have to get the hotel an extra day, then go to Oklahoma City, then go down to Houston, and then back up to Oklahoma City. I'm getting the death glare.
This would also cut into our idea of having steak.
This is true. But if we go down the day before, we could get it on Friday, have some steak on Friday, and then, yeah. No? All right. Well, I feel like this is going to be the first time in NXT. Well, I feel like this is going to be the quickest sellout of any WWE show in history. Because I think this is
in recent history, at least.
I will say of the last 20, 30 years. I think this is going to outsell the Attitude Era shows.
Really?
I think that this is one of those shows, one of those things. How do I put this? And I know this is over your head and it's past you in a way. This is, I feel, the wrestling fan's wet dream. As this is the match that everyone's been clamoring for WWE to do, because they won't screw it up. Like, even at its worst, it's still good. It's technically the best match in pro wrestling outside the Royal Rumble. I will say that. This is right up there with the Rumble on terms of greatness. The Elimination Chamber would probably be third, which is where the idea... Elimination Chamber is just an offshoot of War Games.
I could do that.
Okay, now you get that idea. But it's just individuals. It's not teams. The fact that it's teams, and the fact that it's one of the only like few matches in WCW to ever get 5 stars back-to-back, by the way, tells me that this is a special match. This is a Dusty Rhodes creation. I know they're using Starrcade as well now. We've talked about even possibly going to that just because it's Starrcade. I mean, it's an overglorified house show. They're not showing it on the network.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think they'll change their mind between here and then?
No, because Survivor Series is that week. That's the only reason why. I know it's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Survivor Series is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. They're not going to put it on the network.
They need to. It needs to be a network special.
It does. And it sucks now because the week before, you've got War Games. Like, this is the perfect time for WWE to go, here's a network special. Here's Starrcade.
It's not like they don't have camera crew there, and you don't have to have the whole big television or pay-per-view shebang.
Well, they did the whole the house show entrance for Roadblock.
Yeah.
Well, when they first introduced Roadblock last year before WrestleMania, mm-hmm. when it was Triple H and Dean Ambrose for the WWE Championship, which was actually a really good show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's that. We could do that.
Yeah, and I mean, nobody's going to complain. People just want to see this. Because it's probably going to be something really special because it's Starrcade. It needs to
This is going to be one of those house shows where there's going to be title changes. I'm going to go ahead and tell you now. There's going to be title changes on this house show.
Because it's Starrcade.
Right. They're going to do something completely off the top wall crazy. Well, we already know the club's taking on the Rock and Roll Express. Come on.
And how can you not let people see that? Because regardless, there's not enough seating for the people that want to see this. Even if everybody could travel there, everybody could get tickets.
Not to mention WrestleCade's going on at the same time, which is one of the biggest wrestling conferences in the country. And they're pulling it off the same weekend after Thanksgiving. That's a good idea, by the way. Because, I mean, that's great. So you have this huge wrestling conference going on, I think 20 miles away, and then you have Starrcade in the area. They're going to bring all those legends in from the wrestling from WrestleCade. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring some of them in just to say, hey, these guys were part of Starrcade. Bring them in. It's going to happen. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. They're going to do something awesome. The main event for that show is 2 steel cage matches, by the way, just like the original Starrcade. It is, I think, Charlotte and Natalya for the women's title inside a cage. And Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship inside a cage.
That's where it's going to happen.
It might happen tonight.
If it doesn't happen tonight,
talk about that.
That's
we'll talk
where
about
it happens.
But yeah, War Games is coming up. So War Games is, like I said, it's a special match. Like, I told you that if this ever happens, I'm going to possibly want to go.
When are tickets on sale yet?
Friday.
Tickets go on. Shit.
Friday the 13th, tickets go on sale for War Games. And I'm like, I don't even care if I sit in the shitty seats for War Games. Like, that's how special this is going to be.
Is that when tickets go on sale for Starrcade too?
No. Starrcade tickets are already on sale.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Yeah, no, but War Games ticket, and I'm going to go and tell you, there's a lot of people going from Canada that I follow on Twitter going, we're getting tickets. That's how special this is. I know this is crazy to say, but this might be the most historical thing WWE's done in since they bought WCW.
Wow.
Because this is the one match every wrestling fan that it was a fan of WCW and a fan of the WWE has wanted. It's War Games. So that's coming up. That's the big news story. William Regal announces it. Twitter went apeshit. Like, everyone dropped their mouth. It was supposed to be NXT TakeOver Houston. Now it's NXT TakeOver War Games. And the full card, top to bottom, might be the best NXT TakeOver card in 2 years.
Since you lost all of the
I think this is the start of the new era for NXT, because the NXT title match is Drew McIntyre defending against Andrade, Cien Almas, which should be phenomenal. Which, I mean, McIntyre's winning. The NXT women's title, which is vacant, is going to get decided in a fatal four-way with Kairi Sane, Peyton Royce, Nikki Cross, and Ember Moon. That's going to be phenomenal. Because I viably can see three of those four women winning. I know who's taking the fall. This is just like the fatal five-way. It's going to probably be Emma that took the fall.
Yeah.
But, and then on top of that, they've added Lars Sullivan versus Cassius Ohno.
Which should be fun.
Yes. And the Velveteen Dream versus Aleister Black.
Which the build up to that is already amazing.
I started catching up on NXT and we saw the build for Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black, and I'm like, I really want to see this match now. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Like, I heard it and it's like, I don't know how this is gonna work. I don't see the two of these guys together, but they have pulled it off amazingly.
I love the Velveteen Dream character. Like, the fact that he's Prince and it just comes across awesome. Like, it does. It does. That's weird to me. So Lance Russell passed away this past week. For anybody who doesn't know who that is, I'm surprised WWE didn't mention this on television at all this week. They didn't mention it on SmackDown. It happened on Tuesday. They didn't mention it on SmackDown. They didn't mention it on 205 Live. I don't know if they mentioned it on NXT yet.
And it might come around and be next week that they say something about it.
So the question is,
is it on their radar?
This is the problem. Lance Russell, I will go down as one of the greatest announcers of all time. Like, if you talk to anyone who grew up watching Memphis wrestling, you're going to go Lance Russell's name. Like, he was the voice of Memphis wrestling. In fact, he even went on to work for the NWA for a while in WCW. But I think the fact that he came from the territory era is the reason why WWE didn't mention it. And it kind of makes me sick to my stomach, because he was so good and so well respected. Like, you never heard a bad thing about him. Got to see him last year at the Memphis
Legends of Wrestling
reunion, yeah, which was fantastic, because he introduced Jerry Lawler in his match against Jeff Jarrett. Like, Lance Russell was the one who did the ring announcing for that. And I was like, whoa. I mean, that's a name that's synonymous with Memphis. I mean, his voice is the voice over the first concession stand brawl that ever happened. And in Tupelo, and it is great commentary. I mean, he's the voice of the Andy Kaufman stuff for me. Like, that's who did all the announcing when Andy Kaufman was running down Memphis, Tennessee. Every Saturday morning in the studios at WAMC or WMAC, I don't know the TV5 in Memphis, there he was. And he would run down the show, and it was so amazing. He was untouchable. Jimmy Hart poured flour on him right before he left for WWE.
Oh, Lord.
And he did not like that. So, but, I mean, I never heard a bad story about Lance Russell at all. So, and I'm surprised WWE didn't mention it. I think that there's so many people that he influenced a lot of the generation that came up.
Yeah.
I think he's part of the ones who, I would say that JR is influenced by Lance Russell. I will go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
And Gordon Solie. But I mean, like, you have to mention it. You can't just let it go by in passing. I think that's kind of what makes me sick to my stomach a little bit, is they did not acknowledge Lance Russell's death on television.
And this isn't saying that they might not, because there's always a chance.
Right.
But I do feel like Memphis wrestling has played such a huge role in everything that wrestling has become now.
Oh, Memphis wrestling is a lot of the reason for like the no holds barred style wrestling.
Yeah.
It started in Memphis. If you want to look at some of the kookiest storylines ever, they started in Memphis. backstage brawls started in Memphis. There's a storyline with a dude getting hit by a car. Memphis. I mean, you could go down the gamut of all these storylines and go, it started in Memphis.
Yeah.
And Jerry Lawler can take a lot of credit for that. But I mean, a lot of this stuff started in Memphis, and the voice of that, and the reason that Memphis took off, it wasn't because of the wrestling. I feel like in the territory days, the commentary helps a lot.
Definitely.
Because that is the voice.
Yeah.
And you treated it like a sporting event. And Lance Russell did the best job he could do. And every week it was just, he'd put you on the edge of his seat. So Wrestling World's lost two great commentators in less than a month. And I guess so Gorilla Monsoon needed a backstage announcer with him and Heenan doing commentary, apparently, because that's what Lance Russell did in WCW.
There you go.
So hopefully they'll acknowledge it at some point. He's a WWE, by the way, he's Hall of Fame. I'll go ahead and say that Lance Russell deserves to get in the WWE Hall of Fame. So that could happen at some point. There needs to be a Tennessee WrestleMania. Moving forward, Bray Wyatt. Oh my God. I saw this broke on two websites this week, and I went, this can't be real. If you watch Raw Monday, Bray Wyatt cut a promo where he channeled Sister Abigail, and that's kind of where they're going with the character. I thought the idea was that they're going to bring Sister Abigail to television.
Yeah.
And it was going to be played by Sage Beckett, who was in the Mae Young Classic. Nope. Bray Wyatt's going to be Sister Abigail.
Cross-dressing
Bray Wyatt. This. So I guess it's Bray Wyatt's alter ego to face off against Finn Balor's alter ego and the Demon King.
Hopefully they don't actually go the same route and have him dress.
Oh my God, let's make this happen to tomorrow. Oh. There's a YouTuber by the name of Grimm who changed Bray Wyatt, and his catchphrase was "Baby Booster Bitch." I swear to God. If he comes out saying that, I'm going to mark out. Like, I will laugh so damn hard. Finn Balor, you baby booster bitch. Like, I will lose my shit.
That's where you lose me.
Yeah.
I can't come back.
Walk away from that point. Like, I'm just out of it.
Yeah. No, that's...
This is dumb. This is levels of Vince Russo dumb. I don't know what the hell they're thinking.
I was really excited thinking that they might actually, because they've got this giant influx of women that are either signed with them or on the verge of possibly signing. And they have so many people that could play this part.
And they choose Bray Wyatt. Sister Abigail should have been a character when that debuted.
Not when they debuted, but it should have before the Wyatt family actually split up.
Yeah, no, because it would have gave the rub to some girl. Like, it would have made this, she would have been huge.
No joke.
Sister Abigail, like a character that's based, like that has the demonic powers of the Undertaker in a female form, would be phenomenal. It needs to happen.
And I feel like they do have the female talent to pull that off.
Sage Beckett's wonderful. I have nothing against her. Like, I hope to God that, you know, when she actually gets going on the roster of NXT, mm-hmm. she's going to be great. I saw that and I couldn't believe it. I was like, are you kidding me? So are we going to get the Demon King versus Sister Abigail at TLC? Mm. Now you know I want to just go to War Games and not go for Survivor Series at all. Mm. That could happen. TLC is one of my favorite pay-per-views of the year, and they're going to screw it up.
I feel like at this point, generally, there's a 50-50 chance that WWE is going to screw it all up. Like, it's straight down the middle. For me, at this point, it's 50-50. They're going to do something real dumb every time.
Oh, it's one way or the other, because tonight at Hell in a Cell, we'll learn very much so how bad that actually can get. Because either they're going to right the ship, or it's going to go in a completely different direction that we're not wanting. Then we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Moving on from Bray Wyatt to Sister Abigail. Dear God. I hope he wears like a Hawaiian shirt dress. That's what I want. If we're going to do it, go all out. Speaking of women, Shayna Baszler started at the Performance Center this week. About damn time. That's yay. I'm super excited for her to actually start, which means the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen is happening at some point. And the contract's on table for Ronda.
Yeah, I really don't think this is going to happen until
Mania.
Mania.
Oh, I have no problems with that. I know Ronda Rousey's going to probably be at WrestleMania. Like, I'm the 100% sure that's happening. I was going to say, like, everyone was talking Survivor Series for the Four Horsewomen.
You were talking Survivor Series.
No, it wasn't just me. It's been everybody in, like, the wrestling news world that have been speculating that it's going to happen at Survivor Series. It still could.
But I feel like it's almost here, and all the four together is not going to happen in Survivor Series. I feel something.
It's the only
about
way
this
you
is
can
going
do it.
To happen.
Royal Rumble. They finally do the female Rumble.
I don't
know.
That's
happening this year. I'll put money on that.
I was going to say, I don't know if that's going to be in 2018 or 19. I'm not sure they're prepared for it. I don't know. I don't know.
It's coming. I don't know. And Shayna Baszler starting with WWE doesn't surprise me. She's going to be an amazing talent to have. Like her, Kairi Sane, a lot of the other girls in the Mae Young Classic are now just... The women's division NXT is getting a resurgence period. It's almost like they're being resurrected. Because there was a period in NXT, like after Bayley left. And so, and this is not against Asuka.
But it was Asuka and then
everyone else. Which they brought in Mickie James last year because no one was ready. Like, I know that. When NXT TakeOver Toronto happened, which was before Survivor Series last year, no one was ready to take on Asuka.
Not that anybody else was bad, but Asuka was at a level that nobody else had reached yet. And now
no one ever reached her. Ember got close. Like, Ember is in Asuka's match at TakeOver Brooklyn. Yes. Was great.
And I feel like she's got some real competition on the main roster. I feel like Kairi Sane would be amazing competition for her. And even a couple of the other ladies from the tournament.
Asuka's tweeting Sasha Banks right now and confusing her.
Okay.
So if they're going to pull Asuka Sasha, that alone.
Awesome.
Yeah. Survivor Series, Asuka's debut is supposed to be at TLC. So if you want to put anything at TLC and surround that, it's Asuka's debut. But will she just automatically get thrown into the title match? That's what I'm wondering. You almost have to. I mean, I think at this point, everyone knows of her undefeated streak in NXT. You have to do it.
But the problem comes is if you throw her immediately into the title picture, you cannot have her lose her first match.
Oh, no. She's going to win the championship, but she's going to hold on to the championship until somebody takes it from her
on
for
night
a while.
One?
Yeah. It's the third time it's happened. It'll be the third time it's happened. Gail Kim came in on her first night and won the women's championship, mm-hmm. and so did Paige. I feel like that's worth it. I think that'd be great company to put Asuka in. Because, I mean, as much... Gail Kim's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
We don't know where what Paige is going to do yet.
Hopefully get her head out of her ass next.
She's coming back. She's supposed to be coming back to the SmackDown brand.
Hopefully she'll behave herself and maybe not fuck up the rest of her career.
But Asuka winning it would be... I wouldn't surprise me. Like, they may keep Asuka away from the belt for a while, too.
I feel like that's a better idea to go off of.
But she has to stay undefeated, too. You can't do the 50-50 booking bullshit at that point with that character. Like, you just can't do 50-50 booking with Asuka.
You have to almost treat her as a Brock Lesnar character while you...
She's Goldberg.
You make her larger than life.
She is the female version of Bill Goldberg. I don't know if there's a better way to put it. Like, her undefeated streak says it all. She now has the longest undefeated streak in wrestling. She has outdone Goldberg.
Wow.
That tells me that they see big money in her.
And it's completely believable that nobody is going to be able to beat her. I assume it'll happen at some point.
And it should be someone that needs to beat her. It's not like, okay, at this point... Anyone who beats her is going to turn heel. Because she's so loved now with the fans, you could have put her as a heel against anybody in NXT for the last 6 months, and she would have been cheered so much. And they did.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Ember Moon technically was the face in that match, and yet everyone cheered Asuka. That's what's going to happen.
And it is. This could be a really good chance to fully turn Sasha heel.
Or to a lesser extent, Bayley.
Or Bayley, because there's history there.
I mean,
bet they're going to have another really, really wonderful match in the next coming months.
I'm not going to lie to you. There's matches that appeal to me with Asuka that we won't get to see because half the women's roster is on SmackDown.
This is why I dislike the brand split.
I like the brand split, but I also think it should be different. But you want to talk about that?
Sure.
I know you don't like the brand split. And I think the reason you don't like this brand split is because it's the same shit every week.
The thought of doing the brand split was you get to see more people more often. Everybody gets more time in the limelight. But all they've done is there's this set of people for Raw and this set of people for SmackDown. And you're going to see these people every week on Monday and these people every week on Tuesday.
Well, that's the idea of the brand split was that
they're not using the entire set of people that they have. No,
and that does
roster.
Bother
that's
me.
That's the issue.
That
they
bothers me a
changed.
Lot.
You see more people every week, but you see the same people still. They have done no good by doing the brand split.
Very few people have rose up from the brand split. Okay, AJ got his WWE title run because of the brand split. I will
he
say
he would
that.
Have anyway.
Eventually, yeah. But Braun, if it wasn't for the brand split, I think Braun would have got lost in the shuffle.
I think that he probably could have broken out on his own because
but it would have taken
so
a lot longer.
But it would have taken longer, and I'll give you that.
James Ellsworth's a product of the brand split.
They're not doing terribly well with him, though.
No, but it's something to consider. He is a product of the brand split. Yeah. Breezango, they would have just been in limbo if it wasn't for the brand split. And I mean, yeah, the Fashion
Maybe
Files.
Not.
No, the Fashion Files hadn't been on SmackDown for the last couple weeks, but it returns tonight at Hell in a Cell, so yes. Hopefully we find out who's been attacking them, but they're a product. They're actually one of the highlights of the brand split.
They're one of the highlights of everything right now with WWE.
I'll give you the horrible of it, though.
Okay.
And that's the tag divisions on both shows, and it's nothing against them because, dear God, the tag team divisions on both shows have had
the
matches.
Phenomenal. That's
they're stealing
the
shows.
Issue.
But there's only like three teams.
And when there's only three teams, you're going to see the same three teams week in and week out. And you're just going to get tired of it because I am tired of seeing these same matches with these same people.
I'm going to hold reservations in saying this, but Usos New Day tonight is the match I'm looking forward to the most. Mostly because they don't do tag team title Hell in a Cell matches. I think this might be a first. Unless DX and Legacy was for the tag titles. I need someone to let me know if that's... But this might be the first tag team title Hell in a Cell match. The only other one it would have been was 2009. So... But yeah, that's happening tonight. And that's the one thing I can say. At least I'm enjoying that. See, Sheamus and Cesaro versus The Shield 2.0. I don't know what the hell you want to call them. Those matches have been great. Poor Sheamus, or poor Cesaro, got his teeth knocked out at No Mercy almost.
In. He knocked, got his teeth knocked in.
And holy crap.
Friggin' terrifying.
And he continued. The dude's a badass. Like, those matches, you could tell me that it's going to be the Shield and the New... Like, you can tell me it's going to be the Shield and the Bar and the New Day and the Usos, and I'm going to be excited because at least I know I'm going to get a good match. Go ahead.
The DX Legacy match was not for the championship.
So this
championship was Jericho and Batista and Rey Mysterio.
Okay, so this is technically, I believe, the first one.
I can't guarantee. I can't find anything to actually.
Maybe 2013's Hell. Check out 2013 Hell in a Cell. Because it might have been
a bunch of crap that I'm having to sift through here that's not telling me what yeah, I no, to tell me. Usually I'm better at this, but I was not prepared for this.
It's a weird
here.
Statistic.
No.
2013 might be the other one because it might have been the Rhodes versus the Shield inside Hell in a Cell. But I don't think it was. Are the Rhodes, the Shield, and the Usos inside Hell in a Cell?
I'm trying.
It's weird to think about. Because, I mean, the tag titles...
It does not say they were in a cell.
So this is the first time the tag titles have been defended in Hell in a Cell, possibly. I mean, don't go back and look through every show. It's not worth it.
No, I was just going to look at those two. The Hell in a Cell match was Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan.
Which was not bad, actually. So,
and Punk versus Ryback and Paul Heyman.
Oh. Okay.
Which I just feel...
So this is technically the first tag team match that we know of for that's going to take place for the titles inside Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Usos and New Day have been phenomenal through the brand split, but I think the tag division should just be, I think the champion should float. I honestly believe these, like, you could have the tag team separate on shows. I'm fine with that. Like, these certain tag teams you'll only see on Raw. These certain tag teams you'll only see on SmackDown, but the champs can float.
But then that almost forces you to have a quicker revolving champion because you want to see different people float back and forth because just floating.
Well, no,
one
you,
person
you don't have
one...
to do that because well, the no. champs could be on Monday and Tuesday.
But then you're going to have these three people and the champs, so it's basically four here and four there. It's still the same issue.
But no, no, you actually have a possibility of doing interpromotional matches where it could be like, look, you're having a feud with, say, the club, and you're having a feud with the New Day. At this pay-per-view, we'll say SummerSlam or at Survivor Series, it's going to be, let's say the Usos are the tag champs. Okay?
Okay.
It's going to be the Usos defending against the club and the New Day. So you get one team from both shows, and no matter what, that's kind of cool. Because then you get a Raw versus SmackDown dynamic you don't necessarily get.
Which would be null and void if you would just stop the brand split.
They're not going to stop the brand split. I don't have.
I'm going to complain until they stop the brand
split. I don't have an issue with the brand split. I just have an issue with them pushing the same four people. That's where my problem lies. I don't have an issue with separate wrestlers being on separate shows because there's too many people on the roster not to do that.
There are a ton of people, but you could still, with appropriate booking, be able to get everybody together and not have a brand split. Because this way, there's
no,
people,
you cannot.
There's people falling through the cracks this way.
Okay, let's just, I'm going to give you the example.
To a ridiculous point. And there are some matches that are literally never going to be able to happen because they're not big enough to do on a pay-per-view. And they're stuck on two separate shows. So you have all of these little matches that would be fun and would be good to put on a weekly show that you're never going to be able to see
because they're
stuck on separate sides.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think these shows should have talent versus talent. Like major talent versus major talent all the time.
I didn't say major talent.
No. I'm just saying in general. I even think mid-card talent shouldn't take on mid-card talent. I think a lot of those matches need to be saved for bigger shows. You have two pay-per-views a month.
Which is also dumb, but...
Again, though, you see different wrestlers on different shows. I'm fine with this because you're not paying the pay-per-view prices anymore. If I was paying $49.95 per show, I'd bitch.
We wouldn't be buying every
show. No, but that's what I'm saying. $49.95 per show, there's a bitching factor there. There's not now when it's only $10 a month. There isn't a factor where you can complain at $10 a month.
I feel like they are flooding the market, though, with too much is a bad
thing. Oh, no, I agree with you, but what else are you going to do to give your people that suspend or spend that $10 a month new content? Because they're not making very many new shows of anything.
The answer is to try to do outside content, dude.
But they're cutting it.
That's stupid.
That their way of getting people to subscribe is going, hey, look, let's give them new shows, and I'm fine with this because hey, more wrestling, woohoo. But there does come a time when it does become overflooded. Part of this is Raw's fault. I know that a lot of people complain. Like I know how much WWE makes a ton of money off ad revenue for Raw. That's the reason why it's 3 hours. That's the reason why it will probably always be 3 fucking hours. But in the grand scheme of things, Raw is better at a 2-hour show. So SmackDown's better at a 2-hour show. It flows so much better. NXT only being an hour is awesome. That's my problem. If you cut down Raw to 2 hours and still had the same format you have now, it probably wouldn't feel like you're watching as much. As that 3rd hour Raw gets to be tedious.
If they didn't have 2-hour pre-shows for friggin' pay-per-views.
Well, they only have it for the big ones. They only do the 2-hour shows for the big ones. And I'm okay with that. Because the big ones are, in fact, the shows of the year. Those are the four that you can't miss. Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam. Those are the four you can't miss. And I'm with them on that. Like, I don't believe in doing a match at the beginning of the 1st hour of the pre-show.
When there's literally 7 people in the arena?
Yeah. That was terrible. But you could do your pre-show matches in the 2nd hour. Like, you could do an hour of all your fluff and do the video package. And then the 2nd hour, hype up the main event and just do matches.
Or you could do, you could start off with a match, but you have to let the people in first.
No, that's what I'm saying. You could do that.
That was
you could still, you could, the first hour should be fluff in all your build. The second hour should be your three pre-show matches if you're going to do three.
Well, but then if you know that all of the matches are coming in the second hour, people aren't going to tune in for the first hour because most people don't want to see the fluff. You need to space out the matches that you have on the pre-show randomly throughout your entire time. You just need to let people come in the arena before the pre-show starts.
So you need to say is let them come in and then do it after 30 minutes of starting. Because after 30 minutes, there'll be at least some people, a lot more people in there.
Yeah, I feel like you have to have at least a third of your audience in the arena before you can start having matches.
That was rough.
And that happened at the one WrestleMania, too.
Now this WrestleMania. It was last year with Kalisto and Ryback. We're like, no one's in Cowboy Stadium, and they're just walking out.
And I know that there was issues trying to get people in the stadium. Like, I think there was outside problems going on there.
Yeah, because they show crowds.
That wasn't technically anybody's fault on that one, I don't think. But come on, people. This last one, it was poor planning.
So I guess I'd be hard-pressed not to talk about what happened on the end of Raw last week. This is probably the only thing I'm going to talk about with Raw, because that and Enzo Amore's main event it twice. Enzo's been in the last segment twice. This week's segment and last week's segment, I'm starting to enjoy Enzo as Cruiserweight champ. No, you haven't watched him. I'm just gonna say it. Enzo Amore is a heel.
I have watched him.
You didn't see the end two segments of Raw. That's what I'm saying. Enzo, we didn't watch last week's Raw. I watched it by myself. You didn't see it.
You don't know what I've seen and what I haven't seen.
Enzo is killing it. As a heel, Enzo is killing it. The cruiserweights are all ganging up on him. It's an awesome story. And now Kalisto's part of the cruiserweight division. About damn time. So we know TLC, it'll be Kalisto and Enzo, but moving. But I'd be hard-pressed not to talk about the Shield reunion that's happening this week on Raw. It's the way they're going to get Roman Reigns cheered. He will not get booed. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Roman's going to be cheered out the wazoo.
They might boo him when it's just him in the ring.
They won't. They're going to come out to the Sierra Alpha or Sierra Hotel Delta, whatever the fucking Shield thing is. And that's going to happen. Sierra Hotel India ELD. And Echo Lima Delta.
Okay.
And then that's what
I didn't know what was going on.
They did the
I know nothing of the Shield.
I know. They did the army thing where they did the whatever, what each letter could mean, and it spelled Shield. And then it was Roman's music that came in after. The doo-doo, doo. And they didn't come
through.
Which
they should not have given to Roman. Like, nobody should have kept that music when they broke up.
I agree. They didn't come through the entrance either. They always came through the crowd.
I don't think they can right now.
I don't either, but I'm just throwing that out there. The Shield reuniting, but it's not going to be against the Mizdarage. Thank God. I have no... This is not against Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas. You cannot have a main event spot. I'm not saying that to be mean, but win the tag titles first. Do something. You cannot be in the main event when you haven't done anything in four fucking years.
They're doing better now than they have been previously.
With the exception of the Social Outcast, I agree. They were fun then. I enjoyed that. But yeah, no. It's going to be the Shield reuniting against possibly the Miz and the Bar. And then they're talking about adding Braun Strowman to the match somehow. And I'm going,
what?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen there.
Is this going to be a three-way handicap
four
match?
On three.
Where it's three versus one?
No, four on three. It'll be Miz, The Bar, and Braun versus The Shield. I don't know what they're going to do. But I am kind of excited. So I will say that's going to be the selling point of TLC, that and Asuka. That was the selling point of Raw, because that moment was really awesome. Of just Roman Reigns selling his injuries in the locker room, and then Dean walks in and just starts cracking his knuckles. And then Seth walks in, and they're all three just standing looking at each other, and then Dean walks away and Seth walks away. I'm like, that just was awesome. It's a good moment. I guess we need to talk about the Young Bucks.
And desist letter.
Oh my God, this is so. The storyline is on their show being the Elite that they were getting cease and desist letters from WWE on not to say fuck the Revival or suck it, which that was storyline for being the Elite.
Yes.
But they got a real cease and desist letter over the dumbest fucking thing on the planet. The hand gesture. The hand gesture that is used by 40,000 colleges, apparently, pissed off WWE enough to go, well, that's what we're going to cease and desist you on.
Which does not even belong to them.
I think it belongs to NC State, which is the Wolfpack. By the way, I just want to point that out. It technically, it's the Turkish Wolf. I do
which
agree.
It's weird that you can copyright it in the first place.
Yeah, because it's a hand gesture?
Yeah.
Can I copyright did WWE copyright the middle finger in the early 90s? Because I could see him trying it.
Like, I don't understand how that actually gets copyrighted. That's really weird.
I think a college has the copyright for it, but they're no longer doing that on a t-shirt. And they released the cease and desist shirt that said too sweet, but sweet's got all the different things in it. Like, it's censored from curse word. It is absolutely tremendous. Okay, so that shirt came out 3 days at the end of September, by the way. That was the most selling shirt in pro wrestling tees for the month in 3 days. Young Bucks are a tick, just a license to print money. I can't believe that WWE.
Just weird.
But it is what it is. WWE doesn't like other people to have fun. I think they're mad about the Bullet Club invasion of Raw.
Well, they have no right to be mad because they did it first.
That's what I was saying. It was funny. Like, the whole invasion was a spoof. So what happened was the Bullet Club, which is, at this point, it was Cody Rhodes, Hangman Page, Marty Scurll, and the Young Bucks. So they would get everyone together. They'd go to a Hot Topic, since Hot Topic's selling all the Bullet Club merch.
Yeah.
And go and visit this Hot Topic, which was in Ontario, California, which is right across the street from where Raw was. And they do this whole Being the Elite episode where it's the Bullet Club invasion of Raw, just like WCW, just like the DX did to WCW, signs the tank.
Which I feel like made it just a little worse.
Cody Rhodes
a little less.
Cody Rhodes jumped on a damn hood or jammed top of a limo and delivered the speech from Independence Day. You cannot get any better than that.
Which is actually really impressive to do that from memory.
Yeah, it was awesome. You can tell what his favorite movie is. It was just this cool moment but they interviewed fans, and then this fan, I think this is the moment that got WWE pissed. They interviewed fans, and one of the fans says, I got my tickets for free. Which means WWE papered the show to make it look like more people were there. If that's the case, WWE's going to be pissed. And I think that's what did it. I think it was that, and them looking. Look, it made it look like that WWE wasn't cool anymore at all, because Bullet Club did exactly what DX did to WCW. Because it's like, are you guys here to see WCW or D-Generation X? And everybody would cheer for DX. Bullet Club did the same thing. Are you here to see WWE? Are you here to see the Bullet Club? And everyone would cheer. And I mean, hell, Cody Rhodes walking around would have been enough for any WWE fan to go, that's Cody Rhodes. That's Stardust. Whatever. But that happened.
Nobody sees him as Stardust.
Yeah, I know. But that's what happened. That's that the Young Bucks lost the hand gesture. So they're the last episode of Being the Elite, they actually burned all their stuff, which was kind of sad to watch. Like, it was just kind of emotionally sad.
I still think that if a college does own the trademark, they just need to go to the college and they will probably give them
permission. I think it's a lot of effort they don't want to have to go into, though.
So does this mean that WWE is not going to use the gesture anymore, too?
No, I don't think it's ever been on a product of WWE's. I didn't look into that, but I don't think it has.
Not in any of the promotional photos or anything?
Oh, no, it might be in photos and stuff, but it would have been like WCW photos, and it would have been the NWO doing it, and maybe Finn. Finn might have been doing it in some photos, but...
Well, then they need to get in trouble, too, because they can't have photos of people and sell them that has that's doing it.
Every time I see somebody doing that in a picture now that's not, like, that's at a college or something, I was like, WWE needs to send a cease and desist letter to that college now. It's every time.
You mean like the college in our neighboring town?
Yes, yes. So moving forward, next week, Ring of Honor Global Wars Tour. Holy crap, 4 days. Four tremendous shows, all available if you're a Ring of Honor ringside member. All of them. And I think Chicago's streaming on the Fight app. And Chicago, these tours are headlined by Kenny Omega. And it's the first time Kenny Omega will be defending the IWGP United States Championship in the United States, as it's Kenny Omega defending against Yoshihashi in Chicago. That's a big deal.
That is a really big deal.
Chicago sold out in less than 30 minutes.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So we know Kenny Omega is going to be part of that. Speaking of Kenny Omega, so we're going to cover this first.
Okay.
Tonight, or right after, No Mercy goes off the air at like 10:05.
What? No. Hell in a Cell.
Or Hell in a Cell goes off the air at like 10:05. And then I think 3.5 to 4 hours later, New Japan Pro Wrestling has one of their biggest shows of the year, King of Pro Wrestling, which looks tremendous tonight.
So is this on purpose or accidental?
Oh, it's on. I feel like it's just a coincidence. But tonight, King of Pro Wrestling is being headlined by, well, let's run down the card. It is the Bullet Club, first match on the show, the Bullet Club, Bad Luck Fale, Leo Tonga, which is the brother of the Gorillas of Destiny and just got added to the Bullet Club. He's a young lion, hasn't even earned his knee pads.
Oh, wow.
Leo Tonga and Yujiro Takahashi, who's the Tokyo Pimp, taking on LIJ of the team of Bushi, Hiromu Takahashi, and Sonata.
Nice.
In a 6-man tag. Chaos, Hiroki Goto, and Toru Yano takes on Suzuki Goon.
Okay.
Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. The match that I'm more excited about than anything. Well, second excited. The match I'm second most excited about. Ricochet and Taguchi defends their IWGP Junior Tag titles against Roppongi 3K.
Who we still have no idea who it is.
Don't know who it is. Rocky Romero says he has a tag team that is 3,000 times better than Roppongi Vice. I want to know who that's going to be. The IWGP World Tag Team titles will be on the line in a three-way tornado elimination match. So everybody in the ring at once. No disqualification. The Killer Elite Squad, the IWGP Tag Team Champions, Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer will defend against the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, and War Machine Hanson and Raymond Rowe.
I'm a little excited for this match.
That's going to be brutal. Bullet Club, 6-man tag. It's going to be the Ring of Honor World Champion Cody teaming with the IWGP United States Champion Kenny Omega and the villain Marty Skrull. Whoop, whoop. Against Chaos's Trent Beretta, Jado, and Yoshihashi. Then the match that's going to steal the show. I'm putting money on it. This is a match of the year candidate. Kushida defends the IWGP Junior Championship against the Aerial Assassin Will Ospreay.
Oh. I'm ridiculously excited for this match. Not excited enough to stay awake and watch it, mind you. I will watch it this week.
Yeah, no, this match looks amazing. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Togi Makabe versus Juice Robinson and Kota Ibushi. I think the plan is, and I thought they were going to do Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi at the Dome, but I think the plan might be now Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Kota Ibushi for the Intercontinental title at the Dome.
Huh. Still, I'm happy with that.
That's going to be a damn good match. Tetsuya Naito defends his G1 Climax briefcase as he gets a shot at the IWGP title at the Tokyo Dome in January. He defends it against Tomohiro Ishii. They had a match at the U.S. tournament, who fucked up all of our brackets when we did that. And that was a fun match. That was good. And then the main event, the IWGP Championship, Kujichika Okada defends against Evil. Which, I mean, Okada's going into the Tokyo Dome as champ. I don't feel they're going to pull the belt off of him before then.
No. No, I don't think this is the time.
I think Kenny loses the U.S. title in the Dome.
Do you?
I was trying to think who it's going to be, and now since I think they're going to go Kota Ibushi for the Dome against Tanahashi, I think it's going to be Cody.
Think it's going to be Cody?
I think it's going to be Cody. Wow. I think Cody could be the IWGP U.S. champion. It's something I'm considering.
Okay.
It's either going to be Cody or it's going to be Michael Elgin.
I could accept either one of those.
Michael Elgin probably would make more sense because I think the next IWGP champion after Naito is going to be Kenny. I think the Tokyo Dome next year, not 2018, but 2019, is main evented by Kenny Omega and Okada. I think it's going to be Omega Okada 4.
You think Omega's still going to be with the company in 2019?
His contract ends in 2019.
Does it?
Yep.
I thought it ended.
Well, it does end, but I feel like he'll sign one more year. He'll sign one more year because the Young Bucks contract's up in January of 2019. And I think if Kenny goes to WWE, the Young Bucks will go to WWE at the same time.
Yeah.
And the Elite in WWE will happen. And it will happen. And they will keep them together.
They have to.
And they may get...
I would assume that would be part of their contractual necessity there. Like, they refuse to come over unless you're going to let us do this, this, and this.
Yeah. I'm hoping it happens. But I feel like if it does happen, they might bypass NXT.
I could imagine that. Like, they... There is no place for them in NXT. There's not. That is not.
I think right now, yes, there is. But that's only because there's so many good... Like, they're actually doing the groupage right now in NXT, where WWE doesn't do factions very often.
Yeah, they might right now, but it, the guys that are on their level aren't going to be in NXT much longer.
Can we please get a WrestleMania main event of the New Day versus the Elite? Can that happen?
But they're one of the people that I feel would come in, and their performance level...
Would be so far ahead of everyone else,
and everything is so far ahead that they do not need to be at NXT because they would overshadow everything.
Speaking of Ring of Honor, November 18th, we're going to be in Oklahoma City, as we covered, checking out Ring of Honor for the first time in our front row seats, which I'm super stoked about.
Yeah, it's-
we did find out the Young Bucks are going to be there, so that's going to happen. So we're going to try to document that whole trip, as well as our trip to Chicago in later this month to see Chikara. Oh my god, I can't wait for this. Razor Hawk, I'm hoping they announce Razor Hawk versus the Hermit Crab, because that's becoming this giant feud. And if you haven't checked out Razor Hawk's promos yet, follow him on Twitter at RazorHawk2000. Funniest thing ever.
It is actually really amusing, even though I know I'm going to have to deal with you coming home with a Razor Hawk mask. I know what's happening in my life, and I have accepted it.
Ka-ka. I have
moved on.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I'm just going to come home from work, and you'll be sitting in here typing away on the computer. In a mask. And that's just my life now.
When you walk into the room, I'm just going to look at you and go, ka-ka, and that's it.
Yeah, this is just my life now.
It is time to break down Hell in a Cell. Oh, wait, there is one other thing. Cody Rhodes released a statement about War Games.
Okay.
And Starrcade.
Okay.
And I'm going to read it for you. Because a lot of people believe that this is not fair for Cody. And, I mean, Cody did, you know, make this statement of... Cody Rhodes made this statement about Starrcade and how he feels that his dad should be remembered for Starrcade. And I agree with this.
Yeah.
But this is from Cody Rhodes' Twitter. Received a lot of praise, but a good deal of criticism in regards to my remarks on Starrcades and War Games. With that said, I'd like to clarify my position... and clear up some confusion. As I try to climb the ladder in my sport with every arena I walk into, I carry my father's legacy. It is also my job to protect it. Literally, as head of his state, I try to always honor and never exploit. There's no guidebook on how I'm supposed to do that. I loved him, he was my best friend, and his death was a shock. My comments are certainly from the heart, but they are measured, and I stand by them. Nobody ever claimed they needed me or Michelle's permission. I was told, doesn't mean anything more than that. They didn't have to, but they did, and for that I'm thankful. Dusty didn't just name, grid, book these events. He gave them life. Starrcade, he did in honor of my sister, Teal. Okay. The pay-per-view era would have come much later without the direct consequences of closed circuit and the large-scale event concept. However, I do understand that to the victor goes the spoils, and that my dad's many, many creations for Jim Crockett Promotions and later WCW belong to WWE. They can do with them what they choose. That doesn't mean I always have to like it, though. If my father had not been a public figure, I wouldn't have to share him with the millions of wrestling fans out there, but I gladly do share him. I want generations of fans to know what he brought, because I feel it's a beautiful legacy filled with treasures. So that is Cody Rhodes' stance. WWE did contact them and tell them they were going to do it. And I believe that is the right move.
It is. Hands down.
I mean, they don't need his permission. They do own him. But they did tell him, it's like, hey, we're going to do this. So props for that. It's time to go into War Games. Or Hell in a Cell. War Games. God, I've got it on my mind.
Not yet.
It's time.
Not yet, love.
It's time for Hell in a Cell. Tonight,
if I can pull this up.
I've got them all.
Oh,
tonight, the, Tonight, the SmackDown brand invades, I don't even know where it is, Detroit. The Little Caesars Arena in Detroit.
Yeah.
It's a pay-per-view in the Little Caesars Arena sponsored by KFC. Yeah. The pre-show match. Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin versus the Hype Bros. Who you got?
Hype Bros.
Hey, it's going to be Gable and Benjamin.
I know it is. That's not the
point. This is the night the Hype Bros break up.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Zack Ryder turns heel tonight at Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
About damn time, because that will get a Zack Ryder pro or a Zack Ryder story with Mojo Rawley, or as we like to call him, the WWE's lapdog. Because I mean, shit, that's all that dude is a dog. Like, he just gets so excited. That's sad.
It's okay.
Randy Orton versus Rusev.
Rusev.
It's Rusev's time to win. However, they'll probably give it to Orton.
Probably, but I don't want to pick Randy Orton.
I'm not really even excited for this match. More so because of their match at SummerSlam just being like this immediate like 2 second match and that was it. So hopefully this match will be better.
That was terrible and useless and shouldn't have been done.
Dolph Ziggler and his stupid fucking gimmick versus Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode.
Oh, this match is going to be glorious because this is the coming out party for Bobby Roode, isn't it?
Are they going to let him do Bobby Roode's entrance though?
Oh my god.
That's what I said that they should let him do is actually come out for real matches as either his opponent's entrance or some other random wrestler's entrance and actually come out and be that character while in the ring.
I think that gimmick should have died at the night in Las Vegas when he came out as Ultimate Warrior in front of Dana.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
That was just in poor taste.
Bobby Roode's going to get the win easily. This might be one of Dolph Ziggler's last matches in the company too. Throw that out there. AJ Styles will be defending the United States Championship against the lone wolf, Baron Corbin.
Styles.
I don't know here. I think Styles will probably win to give them another match later on. But I do believe it might be time to pull a trigger on a Baron Corbin title reign.
No, it's not.
You can keep saying that all you want. They're going to give him the belt, a belt at some point. And he's not that bad. And this might end up being a triple threat match.
But he's not that good.
Yeah, but it's better than Jinder Mahal.
Anybody is better than... I'd take James Ellsworth over Jinder Mahal. Like as his current character, not as what he can actually do, as what he is right now. I have seen what he can actually do, and I am happy with it. I'm talking about the actual character he's playing now.
Yeah, that would be... Yeah. So I figure AJ's walking out. This could become a triple threat match.
It could.
Ty Dillinger could get added.
Which would make me really excited, and then I'm going to hope for Ty Dillinger to win because I think he deserves it.
Next up, Natalya versus Charlotte for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship.
Okay.
Who you got?
I'm going to go with Natalya.
I'm going with Carmella.
I think she's going to cash
in. I think this is the night she cashes in. I don't know. I think they're too. Like, I think this is the night she cashes in. I think she might cash in on Charlotte winning.
I think Natty gets a longer title reign.
I don't. I think this is the end of Natalya's title reign. Somehow, I don't think she walks out of Hell in a Cell with the championship. So,
because she hasn't been champion for that long, and I feel like she deserves it longer.
Yeah, 2 months is pretty long in WWE terms now.
Not particularly.
No, WWE rules.
Jinder Mahal got a much longer run than that, and so Natalya deserves a little bit more.
Yeah, she ain't gonna get a Jinder Mahal run. Speaking of Jinder Mahal. He will be defending the WWE Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura. So there is a little story going into this match that makes me think Nakamura might be winning.
Okay.
In the promotional poster in India, It says Jinder Mahal is a 2-time WWE champion.
Okay.
He'd have to lose the belt once.
Okay.
Because he's only a 1-time champ now. He's going to have to lose it and gain it back before December. Tonight's the night. I think Nakamura wins the belt tonight.
But then that means that Jinder's going to win the belt back off of Nakamura?
Possibly, yeah.
Which is terrible.
What I think will happen is he'll win the belt back at Survivor Series, and then they do this Tuesday night in Texas, and he drops it at Starrcade. Because he would be still a 2-time champion. He may not have the belt with him, but he'd still be a 2-time champ. Because it's in a cage, Singh Brothers can't interfere.
Okay.
So I think that's where I think Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal. I think Nakamura might walk out tonight, the WWE champion.
I'm going to continue to pick Nakamura as winning until he actually wins. So
as long as the Singh brothers don't interfere and we get that crap again, I'm fine.
If they find a way to shimmy into the cage like they did into the Punjabi prison, look, I'm done.
Why didn't they just climb out of the square? Done. Like, you could have fit through the square. What I feel is going to be the match of the night. The New Day versus the Usos inside the Hell in a Cell for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. This is going to be the show stealer, hands down. 20 minutes, those two teams inside Hell in a Cell, best match of the night. Could be WWE's match of the year.
It's exciting.
Who you got?
New Day.
I think the New Day win as well. I don't think they're going to pull the belts off them right now, but I think this is going to be fun. I don't care who wins as long as the match is good. You could give me the shittiest match. You could give me like the shittiest outcome ever. And if the Usos win, whatever. If the match is good, I'm excited. And then finally, the Falls Count Anywhere Hell in a Cell match. The most redundant thing I've ever seen in my life.
I don't understand how that works.
I don't either. Hell in a Cell is supposed to mean they keep them inside. So now we automatically know they're going outside the cell. I mean, we know that now.
Shane's going to jump off of it.
Or Kevin Owens is going to powerbomb him off of it.
Or throw it.
Oh, someone dies tonight. And in that wrestling aspect, because someone's getting hurt in this match.
No, because Shane's going to pop the fuck back up and be back on Tuesday.
There is a rumor of Kevin Owens going to Raw.
But from the...
I think because
apparently leaked promotional information says from, that he's going to be going to...
From, I believe, Portland. Yeah, he's going to be at Raw on Raw. So, I mean, that's great because that adds someone else to the title picture on Raw, which is needed.
So, is Shane just going to get really mad at him and banish him from SmackDown?
I don't think he's going to be able to work with him after beating him inside Hell in a Cell. That's what I think is going to happen. Kevin Owens wins. I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
The show ends with Kevin Owens winning. As long as the match, like, I love Shane McMahon matches. You always know you're going to get something special out of him. His match with AJ at WrestleMania was great. His Hell in a Cell match with Undertaker was meh. I mean, it's unremembered for him jumping off the cell, but I mean, the dude's fallen off the stage a couple of times. Coast to coast on his dad. I mean, Shane McMahon's kind of a loon, and I'm excited for the match.
Yeah.
The story's been great.
I'm never honestly excited for a Shane McMahon match.
That's because you didn't see him during the run.
I know, but I also feel like it's time for him to hang it up and let the actual talent do the performance.
Okay, they were saying that a long time ago as well, and that never came to fruition. Just let me point this out to you. That has been something that's been talked about with all the McMahons, and that still has never happened, nor will it ever happen.
As evidenced by Vince bleeding on television a couple weeks ago.
But that does hype this story up a little bit more, so I am excited for this match. I think Kevin Owens wins. Kevin Owens. So that runs down Hell in a Cell. Look, this week has been dominated by War Games. This show to me is just a moot point. There will not be a match as brutal as War Games this year in WWE. Sorry. Like, you could give me matches and I'm going to say something else too. There needs to be blood. I know that you are not the fan of it, but if you're going to do two Hell in a Cell matches, there needs to be blood. Am I the only one that thinks this?
No, I understand it. And honestly, I am a part of the thinking that I would honestly rather somebody blade and bleed that way when it's believable versus actually getting busted open the hard way.
Oh, no, I'd rather them blade. It's safer.
Or heaven forbid, like what happened to freaking Cesaro, which was terrifying and awful.
With Superman t-shirt at Shop WWE right now.
So,
and on the back of it says Cesaro. I fucking love that. But I don't know. I think one of the two matches need blood.
And I'll give me that.
And it should be, I guess, Kevin Owens and Shane. I'm sorry, but there just comes a time where you put these matches inside cages and stuff, and the lore of the cage is supposed to be blood. It's supposed to end a feud. It's supposed to keep everyone out, and there's supposed to be blood. Like, that's what a cage was supposed to be for. It was like the end-all, be-all of feuds.
And you don't necessarily see that anymore. I feel like they kind of throw around cage matches like it's nothing.
Cage matches are... Look, I think a cage match now is nothing compared to Hell in a Cell. Like, Hell in a Cell now is the end-all, be-all for a feud.
Yeah.
That's where the blood needs to be now. And you only do the match twice a year. maybe three times at the most.
Yeah.
It's not like you're not putting it out there 100 times a year. So I'm cool with Hell in a Cell having blood. It just, I don't know.
Not to a ridiculous extent.
No, but hopefully. I mean, if not Eddie Guerrero blading where he accidentally cuts too far and there's just blood everywhere. But I mean, I get that there needs to be blood in these matches. So that's going to wrap. That's going to wrap up this edition of SNS. Next week, we're going to review an old show. I don't know what it's going to be yet. We'll figure it out in between now and then. Send us your ideas. SNS@tbkmagazine.com.
We'll watch something. We'll see how we feel about it. Might have had some friends over to watch with us.
I think to a lesser extent, you need to see a War Games. I think we're going to pick Wrestle War 92.
Okay.
It's got a 5-star War Games match on it. So I think that's what we're going to do. Wrestle War 92 as a whole, which is a shitty show up until that match. And I'm not saying that to be me. There might be a couple of good matches. I don't remember the show. I know Ric Flair's on the show.
Of course Ric Flair's
on the show. No, he's not.
Really?
That was when he was with WWE, Wrestle War 90. Hold on. I'm going to look up the entire card for Wrestle War 92.
All right.
I think that's what we're going to do. Since you've never seen a War Games match.
Watch that and talk about it next week.
The Freebirds versus Terry Taylor and Greg Valentine for the United States Tag Team titles.
Okay.
Johnny B. Badd versus Tracy Smothers. Okay. Scotty Flamingo, who was Raven, versus Marcus Alexander Bagwell. Ron Simmons versus Mr. Hughes. The Super Invader versus Todd Champion.
Super Invader?
Which is, by the way, played by Hercules from the WWF.
Okay.
Big Josh versus Richard Morton. Brian Pillman versus the Z-Man. The Steiner Brothers versus Tatsumu Fujinami and, I can't pronounce the second one's name, Takayuki Izuki. And the War Games match, which is Sting, Barry Windham, Dustin Rhodes, Ricky Steamboat, and Nikita Koloff versus the dangerous alliance of Stone Cold Steve Austin, a stunning Steve Austin, Rick Rude, Arn Anderson, Bobby Eaton, and Larry Zbysko.
Okay, so leading, I know all of the people in the War Games match.
Yes.
Leading up into that, I think I know half.
You know the Steiner Brothers. He's fat!
I know who the Steiner Brothers are.
And the Freebirds. I think you know Johnny B. Badd.
I know Johnny B. Badd.
You know Raven as Raven, but not Scotty Flamingo. And I know you know Buff Bagwell. So
I know Buff Bagwell.
Ron Simmons, you know. You've seen him in person.
I don't know the other one,
though. Mr. Hughes, he trains guys now. Super Invader is probably under Matt. Todd Champion, you don't need to know.
I don't know either of those.
Big Josh.
I don't.
I think he went on to be Doink the Clown. The original Doink.
I don't.
Yes, Matt Osborne. He went on to, or Matthew Bourne. He went on to be the first Doink the Clown.
Okay, so I don't know Big Josh. I know Doink the Clown.
Brian Pillman.
I know that one.
And the Z-Man. And Z-Man had a really long undefeated streak in WCW.
That one.
The Steiner Brothers. Tatsuya Fujinami just got inducted in the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. And then everyone in the War Games match, which the Dangerous Alliance, by the way, is it comes out with their managers, Medusa and Paul E. Dangerously.
Medusa?
Yeah.
What?
Medusa was with Paul E. Dangerously.
Okay.
So then they had a feud, and one of the best things ever is the Clash of the Champions with Medusa versus Paul E. Fun show.
What?
Yeah, it was a fun match. So we're going to watch Wrestle War 92, since you've never seen a War Games match.
Okay.
And I at least picked a good War Games match. So that helps.
I'll give you that.
The undercard for that show is shit.
We've had this discussion before. You can't have a good undercard and a good main event. Not at this point in time.
No,
you
not
You can have
92.
One or the other.
Yeah, you're only getting one or the two. Because WWF at the time, and they were running on all cylinders. But the main event for WrestleMania that year sucked, which was Sid and Hogan.
Oh, that was a really bad one.
But Flair and Savage for the title was really good. And yeah, all right. Well, that's what we're going to watch next week. We're going to take down notes through that show. Holy crap. And we'll cover all the news next week as well. Guys, that's going to wrap up this edition of SNS. Ashley, you got anything to add?
I think we're good. We're going to go have fun with Hell in a Cell tonight.
I hope you guys enjoy Hell in a Cell. Let us know your feedback. SNS@tbkmagazine.com. Let us know your best and worst matches of the night. And guys, if you're going to turn heel on your friend, make sure you hit him in the back with a chair. Good night, everybody.